This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We welcome you to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Do you have a faith story? Well, a faith story is a very useful tool when talking with someone about Jesus Christ. Please stay with us this day as we talk about sharing one's faith in an interesting and a unique way.
Do you have a faith story? We're going to talk about that question in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray this day that we may not only hear and see the great story of the lady who was healed by the Lord Jesus, but that we may also know that this is applicable for every person who will but trust in Christ. Help us in our daily walk, that when we have these opportunities to tell our faith story, we will be able to do so. Keep us close to you, Lord. Grant that we may bow daily before the throne of grace to find strength and peace. We ask it in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you.
friends in Christ. Many teachers of evangelism recommend that those who are serious about sharing their faith in Christ with others should have a good faith story. Now you may ask, well, what is a faith story? One definition would be that a faith story tells how you came to know Jesus Christ and what he's done in your life since then. These things are important, yet they can only be coined and put into one small package. You'll use it often. Our text today makes a good, strong faith story. It's based on a lady who was cured from an illness with her blood. I read to you from the 5th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, beginning with verse 24. A large crowd followed Jesus and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched me?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples said, "and then you think that we can answer that, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, others came. Here endeth the reading of the text for this day. Friend, you know that this must have been a real difficult time for that lady. Here is one who has a blood hemorrhage, or whatever you would call it. She had spent all the money that she had. She had gone to all kinds of doctors, but nothing happened. Then somehow, some way, she acquainted with the healing power of Jesus. We have to let our minds go to some extent here. Maybe it was a good friend who said to her, "I've been so concerned. You look so tired and as if you're about ready to give up. But you know, Jesus is going to be right here in our midst one of these first days. So why don't you go and ask him to heal you?" Well, she had tried everything else, and for some reason she just felt that this might be the answer to her problem. So she got up into the crowd, and behold, there was Jesus. So she thought, "If I just touched him, I don't have to have a long conversation with him. I'll really be healed." And so she got into the midst of the crowd, and they were pushing and shoving as the crowd often does, and she touched his garment. And then Jesus' disciples said to him, when he asked the question, "Who touched me?" "Lord," they said, "how could we ever answer that question for you? All of these people pushing in upon you." But then Jesus turned and looked around and saw the lady. For Jesus realized that when she touched him, the power had gone out from him. That's why he raised the question. So he turned around and looked and saw the lady. She became very afraid. She said, "Lord, I did. I've gone everywhere to try to get over this hemorrhage, but I can't find it anywhere. But I believe you can help me." And it was then that Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." In other words, Jesus had made her a new person. Now the question is often asked, well, was it Jesus who did it, or was it her faith who did it? And I believe that Tom Wright has given us a great deal of help on that question. For he writes in his commentary on these words from the Bible, was it Jesus' power or the woman's faith that healed her? And he answers, clearly it was Jesus' power that healed her, but our Lord said, "Your faith has rescued you." So Wright goes on to say, it is Jesus Christ who has the power to change us, and it is your faith that reaches out and receives him. So in other words, it's both the power of Jesus and the faith within us that makes all of this healing possible. It is Jesus Christ who can make us new people. It is Jesus Christ who can get rid of our guilt. It is Jesus Christ who can give us the assurance of the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of life everlasting. But having said this, all of it depends upon the power of Jesus. But there is that element where our personal faith must reach out and receive him. So it is both objective and subjective. And it is around this that we build our faith stories. And again, I say to you, it is a powerful witness. When somebody asks you, tell me about your relationship with God, and you can do it in a matter of just a very, very few minutes. Now, I wished I had somebody else's faith story that I could share here with you at this time, but I don't. And so you're going to have to listen to my faith story. It isn't perfect by a long ways. I'm always improving on it. But I need to have it, for it can so help me in relating to other people. Now, I was a very fortunate child. As I have told you so many times, I was brought up in a Christian home. My father and mother brought me to the baptismal font, and there God's redeeming work began. He turned to my father and mother at that time, after my baptism, the application of the water, and he said to them, "Now you take this child home and begin to teach him the way of salvation. You begin to tell him what God has done for him in Jesus Christ, and watch the Spirit work." So I had that home. And regularly we had our devotions. And as a little boy, I can remember my father and mother reading me the Bible stories. We went to church not once in a while, not when everything was just right. But we were in church Sunday after Sunday, morning on Sunday at 10 o'clock, evening on Sunday at 7:30. We had a good pastor. He was no orator, but he was certainly a great teacher of the Word of God and expounded it. So it was not a difficult thing to go to church. And that's the way I lived through my childhood. And then I got into high school. And one day I was reading for my devotions the passage of Scripture from St. John's Gospel where he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, and here I try to make it pretty personal, but apart from me, Homer Larsen, you can do nothing. And in my faith story, this tells me how I get to have the assurance of the salvation, and by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, I had made a decision at probably the age of 15 or 16 that I was his. And he would be with me. He would walk with me. He had the power to change me. And it was a marvelous feeling in my faith story. But it didn't stop there. Oh, I could talk about little stories that where he spoke to me through his word. But I go on in my faith story to think of a day when I was asked, have you ever considered being a pastor by a minister that I respected very highly? And it was at that time in my faith study that God was beginning to talk to me. Now, in this particular case, it was a biblical question, but it was put to me by another person. That's a part of as you walk along the way. He uses other people. He uses his word. It's not a lot of feeling. It's not a lot of emotion. There's a basis for all of these things that will be found in your faith story. Then I remember that I started my study for the ministry, and I was somewhat confused. All of these things indirectly I have shared with you many a time. I believe that God had redeemed me in the person of Jesus Christ. But my home church, with all of its strengths, had some weakness, and the weakness was probably that it was a bit legalistic. That means that we had not only the Ten Commandments to obey, but we had a lot of man-made laws that went along with it. And in these man-made laws, we couldn't do this and we couldn't do that. Until I was somewhat confused. And then one day, Dr. Theodore Grebner, professor at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri, was speaking to about 400 ministers. Said Dr. Grebner, remember, men, that you share the message that Christ has done it all. For sometimes when I listen to pastors, I'm reminded of Ivory Snow, 99 and 44, 100% pure. In other words, Jesus has done 99 and 44, 100%. But your faith of reaching out by grace and receiving it, that was yours. No, said Dr. Grebner. Jesus has done it all. It is true then. After he has done it all, empowered by the Spirit of God, you accept it. That's a very, very important part of my faith study. For now I could completely put my trust in Christ Jesus and I could kneel before the throne of grace daily and know that it was all forgiven. And if this were my last day on this earth, I would be with him in heaven. And if this was just one of many days that lay ahead, and it was, that he would walk with me, and he has. That's a part of my faith story. Now, I don't go into all of this, naturally, unless they ask me to expound on a particular part. Then I go along and I think of another time when our Lord spoke to me very strongly in the Word of God. He said to me one day, and I had been a preacher for a little while, "To whom are we speaking? There are some of those who don't know Christ at all." We went over that not long ago. "They're hostile to him. They don't want to have anything to do with him. There are those who are take it or leave it, not so important, but it's all right. It enriches your life. There are those who are seeking, but they have a lot of difficulty trying to get it all straight. Then there are those who live in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And while the sermon perhaps has to speak to one of these primary situations on a particular Sunday, it all has to be covered somehow, some way, so that the unbeliever can be awakened and a believer can be strengthened and a seeker can be comforted. It all has to be some way. You have to talk about a personal, not an impersonal, but a personal relationship with Jesus." I realized that. I had learned that. But I still didn't quite have a hold on it. And so the United States Congress on Evangelism was being held in Minneapolis, and I happened to be there. And I listened to Billy Graham and Oswald Hoffman and many other great speakers of the day. And then these speakers had little smaller groups that you could get into and talk with them. And Dr. Hoffman had one of those. And so after he was done talking about this personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I asked him if I could buy him lunch. I'd like to talk this over a bit deeper with him, just the two of us. And he accepted my invitation. And then it was that when I got all done, Hoffman said to me, "What kind of a church did you have when you grew up?" And I described my pastor. And he said, "Go home and preach like your pastor preached." And now the last one, we're old people, my wife and I, 87 and 88. And I think of all of those people whom I have visited on their deathbed, and to see how some of those who trust in Christ can say, "I leave it all with him. I have no concern." And that is in my faith story today. I don't know how long. Not long. But I'm going home to be with God because of Jesus. And so can you, if you trust him. For it's nothing that we have done, but it's all what he has done. And that's a faith story. Do you have one? Take time to write one out. Amen.
Near to the heart of God.
Father in heaven, grant that we may be able to talk to people and tell them what you have done in our lives. We know, Father, that if we will examine that life, you're continually speaking to us. To strengthen that relationship between us and you, but also to help us to share this faith with other people. God, there is nothing that our world needs any more than a word from you. May we have the privilege of delivering that word in our faith story. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message has encouraged you to share your spiritual journey in Christ with others. Many listeners have chosen to support our ministry with an estate gift. Now, if you feel strongly in the mission of Christian Crusaders and would like the work of this ministry to continue for years to come, please consider a charitable donation. By including Christian Crusaders in your will, you can continue your Christian stewardship even after your death. Please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH for more information. That's 1-888-693-2484. If you know someone who would enjoy Christian Crusaders, please tell them about our ministry. With your help, you can share the word and spread the light of the gospel so no one walks in darkness. For a CD or printed copy of today's sermon, please write to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. You may also call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Conducting today's service was our radio speaker, the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 76th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.